The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
It is 7:45. Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov, shavua tov. Howard, am I allowed to correct you and say Eric Cantona rather than Cantona?
Of course you can, because you know that I don't get these things right.
That's okay. Cantona.
Really? Cantona. But spelled C-A-N-T-O-N-A.
That's his problem, but apparently he pronounces it Cantona.
Right,
all the years he was Cantona.
He pronounces it incorrectly, but it's not really for me to say, is it?
Well, you could correct him.
I could not. Anthony, the Ministry of Education announced that primary schools, kindergartens, preschools will have their school year extended. That's till July the 13th, in spite of a lack of agreement with the teachers' union. What is the basis of the disagreement?
Well, the teachers' unions are very much opposed to the idea of extending the school year. They claim that they have really worked throughout this corona period remotely in order to give as much tuition as possible. The Ministry of Education is saying, look, most of the Israeli economy has had salaries docked from people. A lot of people were on leave without pay. And while the teachers were home and the schools were closed, teachers were paid in full. And so in order to make up the time that was lost, the ministry is demanding effectively that the teachers turn up for an extra 2 weeks of school in order to make up the time was lost. I don't know what to think about this one, Howard, to be honest, because I think that there are a lot of teachers out there who worked really hard during the lockdown period. They kept on with the remote teaching. Remote teaching is not a simple exercise. Teachers had to revise their programs and really had to do a lot of extra work in order to accommodate the new set of circumstances. A lot of them found themselves being available to students outside of school hours. You know, once you're already online, you can be online every hour of the day or night. And I think a lot of teachers did do extra work. And even if it wasn't quite as effective in terms of being able to give the entire syllabus during this period of time for obvious reasons, I mean, obviously the circumstances were quite extreme, but the teachers feel that they have justified, or many teachers feel that they've justified their salaries being paid during this time, and that people needn't point a finger at them saying, while the rest of Israel was sitting at home without pay, you guys were being paid and sitting at home. But I think that there certainly is a certain sector of the teachers who did sit home without having much to do, not because of their own doing, but potentially because circumstances didn't allow. Not all children have access to Zoom and to technology in the way that is required. So this is a real kind of standoff now, because eventually yesterday, the Minister of Education, Yoav Gallant, effectively just overruled the teachers' union. He said, even though we have no agreement for whatever reason, I am determining and declaring now, because people deserve to know, that the school year is being extended.
Well,
so this
right,
is going
actually,
to be a battle.
I actually think it's, you know, not to offend any of our teachers who are listening, but I think it's absolutely right. People do need to make sacrifices. And yes, although the teachers might have worked throughout lockdown, they certainly didn't work in the same way. Normally teachers are asked to stay extra for other cultural activities or the extracurricular activities. They asked to get there a little bit earlier, stay later, etc. And whereas they might have given, certainly my observation is, the teachers have worked unbelievably well and they've been phenomenal, but they haven't given the same number of classes in certainly what we've seen. And if that's the biggest sacrifice, that they're being asked to work for 2 weeks extra, well, I think they should man up.
Well, I think the question is what our measure is. Is the measure to what extent have our children been educated? Because I think we can easily say that over lockdown, they were less educated than they would have been had there not been lockdown. So that's one measure. The second measure from the teacher's perspective is how much work, effort, how many hours did we have to put in? And so they're coming and saying, we did our hours, we put in our effort. A lot of them are saying
such
you're putting more than the
required. You know, the world is in crisis. Israel's in crisis over this. You know what? roll up your sleeves and just do it. That's how you get back. That's how you give back, and that's how you claw back to a normal environment. Pull yourselves together. I'm sorry. I know I'm being quite – I feel quite strongly about this, as you can hear.
But
I can't stand this sort of thing at a time like this when more is being asked of you. You could look at it like a war situation. There are times in our world that you actually just have to say, this is what we have to do. And I can tell you that most people in most companies – if they have a job, are A, grateful for it, and B, are probably working a lot harder than they would have worked. No one's clocking in and saying, well, you know, I did a bit of extra hours here, and I should be having my normal leave there. This is just not a normal year. It's not a normal situation. You've got a job. I think there should be a tremendous amount of gratitude for it. Nobody's saying that you're not working very hard. It is appreciated, but pull yourself together. I
have a tendency to agree with you, and I think that what we're seeing here is kind of a greater argument that goes on within our education industry in general, which is the fact that the teachers are grossly underpaid, and, you know, people are pointing at them saying, well, you've got 3 months of holiday every year, so what do you expect? But the question is whether what's the chicken and what's the egg? You know, if people are being paid better, then you could quite reasonably demand more of them while they get a reasonable pay. But unfortunately, the pay that our teachers get is not commensurate with the job that they do. The result of that is that either you attract lower quality people who are prepared to put up with the salary levels, or you get people who are higher quality, but who generally feel badly done by because they're not being rewarded for the work that they do. So I think it's kind of an argument. This is a mini argument of a much, much greater subject. But having said all of that, I mean, the final result is that the education ministry has determined from on high that the school year is being extended. I suppose they have a similar view to the one that you hold, Howard. It's going to be interesting to see what the teachers do about this, because the unions don't agree. And unless the teachers turn up, you have no extension of the school year. So this is a bit of a standoff situation.
Yeah, fascinating indeed. An American tourist has been instructed to leave Israel after violating the quarantine rules. That's interesting.
So this is interesting because, of course, this is part of the whole corona story. And this is an example that's being held up as someone who was allowed to come into Israel on, you know, a special request. And, of course, a lot is being made of the fact that this particular person is the son of a U.S. millionaire, billionaire businessman who has a brother who is a lone soldier in the IDF, and he applied specifically to come to Israel in order to be allowed to visit his brother, and he was instructed that he would need to spend 2 weeks in quarantine, and he apparently signed up to all of this and then came here and moved in with his girlfriend. And so the authorities were tracking him, and eventually they turned around after finding that he had not adhered at all to the quarantine rules and that he had absolutely no intention of doing so. And he was then advised that he needs to leave immediately, which I guess he's been forced to do now. So this is all over the newspapers, and it's one of a number of stories that revolve around violations of quarantine. The other one involved Israeli businessman Teddy Sagi, who is very well known for having started up an online gambling company and done very well out of it, and was in Cyprus. He had his own private plane, and apparently he applied to come to Israel for what he termed a family event, and he was given special permission to do so, and also not to have to go into quarantine by the senior medical officer in the Ministry of Education, the Minister of Health, the Deputy Director General, who's the most senior medical doctor in the ministry. And it turns out that Teddy Sagi actually came to a party, and then, of course, the official of the Ministry of Health was held up to the light. Professor Itamar Grotto was held up and accused of perhaps being on the take from Teddy Sagi, because, of course, the fact that he's a very wealthy person might indicate that he might have paid his way. But in the end, Professor Grotto published a very, very well thought out and convincing letter to defend the fact that he gave Teddy Sagi dispensation not to go into quarantine, and how he had been misled by Teddy Sagi's statements. So a few arguments that are coming out, a few stories that are coming out of the woodwork about people who are not adhering to quarantine. But what I can tell you is that I know from a few people who have come in from abroad and have gone into quarantine that there is actually enforcement, that the police come around to your house from time to time every few days, and they make sure that you are where you are supposed to be in your quarantine location where you've indicated you go to be, and people who violate that are absolutely held to account. And here we have a situation now where this particular individual has been sent back to America for violating quarantine.
Wow, really, really unbelievable. Prime Minister Netanyahu announced that construction at the newly established Trump Heights will begin. Why is this important enough for the Prime Minister to pursue at this time?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, back in May of 2019, Netanyahu announced the creation of this residential community in the Golan Heights in honor of the U.S. president after he decided to sign an order recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. We know that Israel applied Israeli law over the Golan Heights during the time of Prime Minister Menachem Begin, and it was only last year that the U.S. government formally recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. And as a result of that, and in recognition of that action, Prime Minister Netanyahu unveiled Ramat Trump Heights in the Golan Heights, which is a residential area named after President Trump. Yeah. So why now do we need to be announcing that? This was announced in the cabinet meeting yesterday, that Israel will begin implementation of this decision and will begin building this town in honor of President Trump. And I think that, you know, some people are linking it to the whole discussion of the annexation of parts of the Judea and Samaria, of the Jordan Valley in particular, trying to somehow give President Trump a little bit more recognition, a little bit more credit, to show that Israel is indeed very grateful to him for the tremendous support that he's shown Israel over the period of time that he's been president. And, you know, the question, of course, still is on everybody's lips as to what will happen in the upcoming U.S. presidential election, whether Trump will in fact secede, and whether we'll have another term in office. So I just wonder whether Prime Minister Netanyahu is not just trying to show him a little bit more credit and a little bit more strength and support by taking the step to build out Trump Heights. And, you know, I think it's all really part of the annexation discussion, because having recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights and having potentially said that the U.S. government will recognize Israel's sovereignty also over areas of Judea and Samaria, including the Jordan Valley, I think that this is just kind of a strategic decision that the Prime Minister has made to pursue the build out of Ramat Trump. Very interesting.
It is indeed. Other stories that we wanted to cover this morning is an Israeli heart team has carried out a complex life-saving surgery on a Syrian baby. We discussed this very briefly with Rolene Marks on Friday, but just tell us a bit more about the story and tell us how the baby is doing.
Well, the baby seems to be doing quite well. The baby was born with a rare congenital heart defect, was flown to Sheba Medical Center last week with his father. The father and the baby were actually flown from Cyprus. This is a story of a Syrian family, refugee family, who escaped from Syria and landed themselves up in Cyprus and have seemed to have been living in Cyprus since when they left Syria perhaps a year or two ago. And the couple had this baby who was very, very ill indeed with a congenital heart defect. And Israel, the Israeli embassy in Cyprus, was involved in arranging not only a mercy flight, privately chartered mercy flight from Cyprus to Israel. It's only about an hour flying time, so it's a relatively simple thing. But not only that, it's also, of course, the fact that these people are from Syrian extract, whether that was brought into the mix. And the third issue, of course, is to waive quarantine requirements, not only for the baby and for the father, but indeed for the medical team that accompanied them from Cyprus to come to Israel. Fortunately, we have a fantastic facility in Sheba Medical Center at Tel HaShomer Hospital. They have there's a heart center at the Children's Hospital. And there they completed what has been described as the first surgery, a so-called Norwood procedure, which carried out yesterday. Apparently there will still be more operations, more surgeries that this baby will be required. But I think the point is that, you know, Israel and Cyprus have a very good relationship. And the fact that the family happened to be Syrian was of no consequence whatsoever. This is just another human being, and it's a good thing that Israel is able to offer support and help.
Absolutely right. It is 8:00. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.